it was all a pipe dream, watching bodyboarding up on TV. Deep at reef, watching tension repeats, eating bakery feeds at 18, living the dream with no sunscreen. Yeah, we were so keen, surfing Aussie pipe, buying Riptide.
All right, g'day and welcome to the Riptide Bodyboarding Podcast, the home of bodyboarding. Thank you for joining us on episode 93, getting close to the coveted 100. And I am your host, Luke O'Connor. Well, today's guest needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one because he fucking deserves it. He's a 2 times world champion. He's an all-round legend. He's a competitive freak, and he has just won the 2024 Fronton King Pro in Gran Canaria. I'm speaking to none other than Tristan Roberts. Brother, thank you for giving me your time on the podcast today.
Yeah, Luke, legend, brother. It's so good to be back and sit down and have a chat with you, bro. Looking forward to it.
Dude, well, there is so much to unpack. Like, holy shit. We've mentioned on the comp wrap-up earlier on in the week, or just a week gone, that six-day bodyboarding festival that occurred over there on Gran Canaria recently through the IBC Fronton Pro was fucking psycho. Obviously, you didn't get the conditions that you truly desired, but, you know, you guys being the world's best bodyboarders really put on an incredible show, and especially coming into that finals day, it took all your grit, all your competitive prowess, and all your wave selection knowledge to get you over the line. And I've just got to congratulate you, brother. That was an epic win, man. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks so much, bro. It's such a trip because it's like, obviously when I'm surfing front on, like, I want to compete in the like best conditions possible against the best dudes, you know, like, especially for me, like, not having the title on the line this year, it was kind of like, I really just want to try and like express my surfing and just have fun and, like, you know, try and put on a show, which is kind of difficult when you look at the conditions. You're like, oh, like, how am I gonna really express myself in this, you know, while still being competitive and not just being too complacent. So I'm obviously with the final with Mars, like, I would have loved if it was just like pumping front on and we could have just traded off wave for wave and did a couple big airs and see who came on top. But yeah, bro, I'm stoked nonetheless. And just, yeah, Fronton's just such a special place for me, bro.
Dude, it's a special place in almost every serious bodyboarder's eyes, I reckon. Like, you know, obviously you've had great success there, but to see what it can produce, and obviously, you know, hats off to all the athletes that went in the comp. That's what really made the whole show go on. But like, to watch that wave do its thing time and time again, and then to see everyone just going so ham from the early rounds, just the energy was there, the commitment was there. Like, Amore was on an absolute tear. Like, if before the final between you two, I was thinking to myself, it is like even $2 odds here on each athlete. Like, there's no either way. Like, you having the win over him in like previous years out there, Amore on such a heater, being like the local Grand Canarian guy, like the relocated Frenchman out there, like, you know, he spent so much time out there, and then to see you guys both go at it in a colossal match, like, it was just the best way to end the comp.
Yeah, legend, bro. Like, it's obviously like what Moz has done to Fronton, and I said it like in like my post win speech, is just like, it's a bit of a joke to watch him, like, in a free surf and even in a heat, he's just like so dialed in with the place and so connected. He just never makes mistakes. Like, cause I often say to the boys, I'm like, if I had to live here and surf this wave every day, I would like guarantee I'm getting injured or hurting myself. Like, you know, it's such a intense wave that's just like, where so much shit can go wrong. And when you look at Moz, like, in a free surf and how he surfs it, he just doesn't make mistakes, you know. He's just, like, so calculated out there, and he's just doesn't even look at one that's, you know, potentially going to close out. Or I don't know, he's just got it so down to the T, bro. It's wild what he's managed to do with that place.
It's so cool. And you can tell the level of bodyboarding was raised again at this competition, man. Like, everyone was just going to that next level from the early rounds all the way through the final. But let me ask you, what is it like taking off at Fronton, and how are you assessing the right and the left, you know, in the heat of the moment?
Yeah, for me, it's like, kind of, I know that all my scoring potential is on that right, like on the hook bowl that, you know, I'm always looking for. The left for me is so hard to read. I don't know how, like, I don't know which ones are going to wrap onto the reef and which ones are going to like shoot you into the channel. And it's such a like hit and miss thing, especially because you often land on like the back of the wave or on the sidewall, and judges don't really like that at all. So for me, I kind of just stick to my guns and like wait on the good rights. And that's kind of what I capitalize on. Obviously, if it's like a good left barrel, I'll do it. But the ramps just kind of confuse me out there. I don't know which ones have the true scoring potential, which you'll see the local boys just know. Like, it's so weird on such a small patch of reef how many different directions of waves come in there. Like, if you watch Robin, like where Robin takes off on the reef, it's so wild. He's like almost taking off on like the right end ball and going across the reef on like the ramps that he's looking for. So it's kind of strange. Like, you can kind of see why everyone just has their different approach out there, and it's just so interesting to watch. But yeah, for me, I kind of like looking for those chip in like rights that like just grow down the line into like the bigger air balls, and that's kind of what I'm after.
Well, fuck, man, in the first 5 minutes of that final, you really showed why you love the right so much. That looping backflip you did, that you, when you landed back in the barrel,
yeah,
you know, was almost reminiscent of that huge flip you did on the left. I think it was in 2019, possibly.
Yeah. No,
and you landed.
Yeah, in 2022.
Yeah. Oh, 2022. Sorry, I'm getting my years mixed up. Yeah. That was insane, man. It was almost carbon copy, except like you kind of had the time to spin around on the left, where when you landed back in the barrel on this right, bro, you were just in the belly of the beast straight away.
Yeah, it was such a trip, because I was like, I watched that wave so many times, and like, especially because I think I had heats like leading up to that, like just before, you know, like from the quarters to the final, there wasn't really much turnaround time. And like the tide had dropped out like pretty quickly. So my previous heats, like I felt like the bowls would kind of fade away really quickly. So I was just trying to attack like anything that I saw that would come at me as quick as possible. And just like, if I saw a good ramp on the takeoff, I was hitting the first section I saw. And I feel like that's exactly what I did on that right, where it was like, I didn't see that it was going to keep wrapping on the reef. Like, my eyes were so locked in on like the big ramp that was right in front of me that I didn't see down the line it was going to keep like wrapping in. So I just kind of thought like, when I was doing the backflip, I was just going to spin around into like an open face. And I just like spun around and I was like in the barrel. I was like, oh no, this is not good. Like, just kind of just like cooked this wave, you know, like that was kind of like definitely the best wave of the heat with the highest scoring potential. Like, looking back at it all the time, I'm like, oh, if I'd hit like the next section, I would have just landed like in the flats and been okay, you know. So I don't know, it's a bit of a annoying thing for me to watch that wave. But
wasn't annoying on our interest in band. The hang time that you got off that thing was like you'd backflipped off a fucking skyscraper, brother. It was insane. I swear to God, you had another 2 seconds of fall time compared to any other athlete on the day. You just kept falling and falling.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever watched Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Do you remember when Gandalf gets like whipped by that Balrog with like the big fire whip, and he falls into darkness? That was almost like you going on that right back. It was just like, I kept watching the replay going, he's surely gonna fucking land. It was like you riding, man. It was crazy. Yeah.
And the boys were saying like on the cliff, because of like how it echoes, like this, like the landing sounded so loud from my board just hitting like flat on the water. It was just like echoing into the crowd from on the top. But yeah, no, it's so weird, because I fully like just thought I had it, you know, like even like spinning around, I was like, oh, maybe the judges would have seen me like have control, but it's just like, it was just too quick into the barrels. Like, oh, that's so annoying.
Did you get flogged on that? Like, did you hit the reef when that barrel flogged you up?
No, not really. Cause it was like, I felt like I kind of like in the barrel, I had enough control to almost like push through the lip. Like, I almost like came out the top of the wave, like with my hands, like kind of trying to, yeah, it was like really weird. I didn't really go over the falls. I just kind of like cut through it. So that probably saved me in the end.
Dude, that's such a funny thing you said. Well, like, it resonates so much with me. No, not funny. It's like, it's quite important, really, because there's certain waves that if you, I've even spoken to Andrew Lesser about this, and he talks about it heaps out of the island. When you can get, you know, almost pierce through the trench of the wave and duck out the back of it and avoid, you know, the amount of energy ripping you forward into the danger zone. If you time it correctly, obviously you were trying to land the move and you just popped out of the back because of the position you're in, which is epic, because we wouldn't want you to see you getting washed up on the rocks 5 minutes in the final. But you know what I mean? Like, the way you pierce there is almost how a lot of, you know, really good bodyboarders and surfers will try and approach a get out of jail free kind of situation, you know. And it's so funny, it's like split seconds out there where, like, you know, you look at Liam Lucas, obviously he was a little bit late into that left and got caught on that ledge and slammed hard on that flat bottom reef, and that was his comp done. But if he was to be there earlier down on the bottom of that wave phase and the ability to punch out the back of it, again, you know, different waves, so anything could have happened. But it's so crazy that the little milliseconds that change the outcome of a really hectic situation. Because when I saw you get flogged there, man, I was like, man, he's fallen from the sky, he's fallen back into the most powerful part of the wave, and that wave kept running off and grinding. I was like, he's surely gonna smack the bottom. But it's great to hear
you. Yeah, I feel like if I had, like, not landed, like, if I didn't have control on the landing on the flip, like, if I had spun around and nosedived, or, like, kind of, you know, like, didn't have any control, for sure I would have been in a more dangerous position. I think, like, the good part there was is that, like, I fully had control on the flip the whole time. Like, even when I spun around, I was kind of had enough control to know, like, okay, I can kind of push through here, you know? Which definitely saved me in the end. Like, if I thank goodness I didn't, like, peg or tail dive or something like that, that would have been a lot more dangerous for sure.
Yeah, and I reckon that would have eventuated in you getting, like, picked up and slammed and coming down a lot worse. Sorry, you go. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Yeah, I was even talking to Pierre about that the other day, like, because it's pretty wild. Like, Liam's one, like, I was literally walking down to go and surf, and, like, I knew the tide was low, like, it was really low, and it was just so clean and nice. Then I saw the boys, and I, like, literally took my wetsuit, like, out my bag. It's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna start getting ready. And I saw Liam, like, take off on that one and just, like, free fall, like, no speed, and just got absolutely detonated. And I was just like, okay, I just put my wetsuit back in my bag. Like, this is like not what I want to do before the comp. Like, I'm putting my wetsuit back in the bag. And I was just like, all the boys went to help Liam, and I was just like, holy shit. Like, you just really need to pick, like, your sessions out there. Like, and especially before the comp, like, you can't be going out there on the low tide and, like, trying to, you know, get those bombs, because it will catch you. Like, and seeing, like, what Tomega did out there shortly after, he had a very similar one where he, like, got to the bottom, and the same kind of situation as Liam. He just kind of had more control once he was on the bottom, and he was able to, like, do exactly what we were talking to and, like, pull through the lip. And he just, like, avoided, you know, hitting the bottom. But it was just like, when I watched it, I was like, how did he not hit the bottom? And he's just, like, such a guru at doing exactly that. Like, he can take off on the scariest ones and, like, get to the bottom and somehow manage to, like, pull through the lip on, like, the heaviest wave at front on, which is pretty impressive, bro. I was pretty mind blown by his ability to do that.
Bro, he's an animal. He's shown it time and time again, like, obviously at Pipeline, getting some of, you know, the largest waves ever seen in Naboo, plus some of the largest beatings, but also to come out unscathed. Like, even, you know, that wave at Arica where he's rolling on the inside section on that left, and, like, you know, anyone, again, I haven't surfed at Arica. I know you guys have obviously competed there a lot, and just from what I'm observing from afar and everyone that tells me that comes on the potty or just speaks about it, it's like, that's a wave you don't fuck with, and that's an end bowl you don't hit if you're going to go onto those rocks, because they're jagged, sharp, and hard. But he seems like one of those seasoned vets that just has done it all before. He's got the vision, man. And he's won three fucking Ireland comps. Like, he's off his head.
Yeah, he's definitely got a couple screws loose, but he's just so like so good at like keeping composed in those dangerous situations. Like, he's just always in control, which is so impressive, bro. It's wild.
It is, man. And to be a lifeguard over on the North Shore and to have all that experience, that water experience, is, yeah, invaluable in those situations. And I guess if you were to compare Liam's situation with Tomiga's, you would have to say that it's just the years of experience of being in those situations time and time again that probably got him out of it, where with Liam being fresh blood, obviously a very accomplished bodyboarder in his own right, but not having, you know, those, or as many of those scary, you know, heavy beatdown moments, probably was the difference, you know?
Yeah, definitely could be, for sure. And I think like Liam's one where he just like free fall to the bottom and lost his hands. Like, that was like the turning point. Like, once you just like lost all control, you know, like once the board bounced out of his hand, he's like try to regather it. Like, that little moment is kind of what made the biggest difference in the end.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Two different waves, similar situations. Yeah. But yeah, the little minute differences really do make a hell of a difference, I guess. But man, speaking about the wave itself, you know, for all the listeners out there, what would you say is the best tide and conditions for front on, and when do you like to surf at the best?
Bro, it's kind of like it's funny because I was speaking to the locals about this too. It's like the boys, like, they don't surf it when it's looks like what we've been surfing it, you know. It's just like, just not worth it in a free surf, like, to go out there and take all the risk in like kind of windy and scary conditions, because obviously you look at it from shore and you're like, wow, there's a couple crazy ones, but what you don't see is all the little like chops going across the face and all the little steps you're going to have to navigate, that where you could just get lipped in the head from this little onshore. And so like trying to like get rid of all that, all those little dangers, and just kind of line up the forecast to be like a good like west northwest direction. And like, I honestly think like there's just best when there's no wind. Like, I don't think there is a good wind for front on. Like, those glassy days are just the days, you know. Like, if it's like a good swell that's like west northwest, glassy, and obviously high tide, then that's what I'm after out there for sure.
Yeah, okay, wow, cool. Yeah, I've heard co-host on the Comp Talk Potty, Sean Cooper, he's spoken about the Canary Islands and obviously the location of them being out there in the Atlantic and far off the Spanish coast. You know, they do cop a lot of wind. So what's the regularity of getting those glassy conditions?
I mean, like, it's so annoying because, like, now this was like the windiest 2 weeks I've spent in the Canaries. Like, looking at the forecast for the next 2 weeks, like, looks like so glassy and so good. So I think we just really timed it really bad. Normally in October, November, you do have a lot of these glassy days. Like, I'm kind of going to France today trying to not look at the forecast for the next week because it looks pretty glassy and clean. So I'm sure you're going to be seeing good content of the boys over the next few days for sure.
Fuck, that is so, well, you know what, that's disappointing, obviously, from your end and whatever, but from a fan and spectator's point of view, that just gives more credibility to the wave that you guys had some of the worst conditions that you guys have ever seen, and yet it was still so enthralling and crazy to watch, man. Like, it's you have to be one of the best bodyboarding waves, if not the best bodyboarding wave in the world.
Oh, for sure, man. Like, the potential out there is just like, it's endless, you know. Like, I always see it out there as like, you could at any moment just get like the best ramp of your life. Like, something like, there's just so much power and you're going so fast and like it's rapping so hard that I feel like you just never know what you're in for, you know. Like, you can just be sitting out there one day thinking like, oh, I'm just gonna have an average surf, and all of a sudden you just paddle into like one of the best ramps you've ever seen, or barrels, or whatever you're after. So it's always just like keeps you on edge, you know. You never really know like what you're in for.
So cool. And that's probably the best, and it throws up some of the most spontaneous sporting situations. But man, switching the topic to what the general comp scene was like and the vibe around the comp, obviously you had the world title race going on around you with Amir Das Soteveras and Pierre Luis Costes going blow for blow, with Amir Das dropping out quite early in the comp and Pierre making it deep into the draw but still coming unstuck. Again, to the eventual runner-up, Amore Laverne. What was it like, you know, being a fly on the wall watching that play out? And did you feel like it kind of took a little bit of the weight off your shoulders about it, just focus on winning the comp and not getting caught up in all the hysteria?
Yeah, for sure. Like, that was kind of where my mindset was at, was kind of just like, enjoy it for what it is, like enjoy that show and just like go out and free surf and just have fun and try and express my surfing. So that was kind of like, so we had just like zero nerves in this comp, just like trying to enjoy it all, just like trying to enjoy the whole thing from start to finish. And I had that heat with Omides and Willy, like where we knocked Omides out, and it was just like the craziest thing, because I like looked back at the cliff and there were like easy 1,000 people like standing along the cliff, and his dad like, and everyone had this like microphone and everyone was just shouting his name like from the cliff, like, and I was like already knew it was about to happen, so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna use my earplugs for this heat, like just like took my earplugs down, like put my earplugs in, and I was just like sitting out there and I could still hear them just like crowing crazy through my earplugs, just like shouting his name on the cliff. And I like turned around and I was like, wow, it's like crazy how many people are here right now, just like, yeah. So I guess like in the end that put more pressure on him than anything else, like having so many people on the cliff shouting your name, and where I was kind of just in the other state of mind and just trying to free surf, and you know, and yeah, so that was definitely like one of the highlights for me of this comp, was just seeing how many people were there to support him and how crazy it was.
Yeah,
the local fire here, bro, like in the support of bodyboarding is just unbelievable, bro. Like, it's just so funny because Anthony Miller like came over here and it's like one of his first international comps, and he's like kind of mind blown by like how much support bodyboarding gets here. He's just like, wow, this is like, it's crazy to see like how much love the sport has here. It's like, it's always so inviting to come back to Canary Islands, just because you know like how welcome you are, and yeah, it's just like everyone's just frothing so hard to watch the show go down.
Isn't that perfect, man, to have the destination that decides the world tour and probably one of the greatest bodyboarding comps on the calendar in a place where bodyboarding is heralded as number one, where, you know, you go to pretty much 99% of the rest of the world and surfing, our older brother, rules supreme, you know? Like, it's, I guess from Anthony's point of view, like, you know, being from the Eastern Seaboard here in Australia, like, we know all too well what it's like to be called a dick dragger and a litter and a cripple,
yeah, exactly,
and whatever. And then to get that love, man, it just, oh, it sounds so warm and inviting.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely like, that's exactly what it's about here. It's like everyone is just, but even like when you see like the weekend we had those like front on after parties, and there's like, bro, there's like thousands of people there that are just all there because of like, you know, all the bodyboarders that are around, and everyone's just so happy and just like, yeah, it's just sick, bro. It's just like such a cool crowd. Like even the DJ was like Miguel Macias, who's like one of the old locals from here, who's just like a DJ now, and he's just putting on like such good boogie like tracks from like, you know, old movies, and just like, yeah, everyone just frothing out and just, yeah, just enjoying it. It was so sick, bro.
Dude, what were those parties like? And have you got any inside scoops on Anthony Miller and his good times over there? Like anything to leak out of the wash up?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to share about the kid, but he's a good kid, bro. Yeah, it was so funny. He was cruising with me a lot and we had a lot of good laughs. Like obviously, like we said, we're bodyboarding so loved, and he's just a little Australian, like just enjoying it and trying to chase all the chicks, and just, yeah, it was fun, bro. We had a good laugh and, you know, setting him up with a couple chicks for sure.
Dude, I can't wait to rack his brain when he gets home, because he's still learning it all in front of him, you know, being so young and obviously extremely talented. Like, I think he's a great talent moving forward for Australia. And I'm sure we're going to see him a little more World Tour comps. But, you know, I think it would have been a real coming of age trip for him to be over in Europe, and especially with his accent and his cute little looks, like they would have been all over him, bro.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely think he's a lot more motivated to learn Spanish now. Like, I've seen him on Duolingo the last few days, like trying to like get into some Spanish just so you can try and communicate with them.
Oh, dude, that's so good. Good on him, mate. Being multilingual, it really definitely helps. Actually, dude, speaking about that, watching your post-final interview and congratulations speech, you spoke quite well in Spanish there for the first couple of minutes.
Yeah, I've been trying to learn for a while. Like, I'm just so tired of like traveling and not being able to communicate with like people around me. You know, like it's just so frustrating because I can see how much like even the bodybuilders just want to talk to you, but like they just can't, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I've been trying to learn at least basics so that I can at least have like a bit of a warm interaction with like the locals and just kind of, you know, let them know how much they are appreciated. And they appreciate it a lot, like when you can speak to them in their mother tongue and just kind of, you know, make the effort. So I've been trying to do that at least and get to a point where I can just communicate with everyone. And yeah, so it's been good. It's been a challenging journey for sure.
For sure, man. Yeah, like to try and speak any sort of, you know, different tongue, you know, that's why I've got to give my hats off to the IBC commentators on like many levels there, man. Like the way they switch between different tongues is off the charts, and to try and describe the situations at hand and to have all that different knowledge, you know, jam packed away in their brain and to call upon it in critical situations. It's like, fucking hell, I'm lucky enough just to speak slang Australian, let alone any other, you know what I mean, language.
Yeah,
it's so
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it's endless. Obviously, it's just like, it's just a whole world of knowledge. But it's been a lot of fun.
Sick, man. And so you're wrapping up Gran Canaria in a couple of hours, I believe, and you're heading off to France.
Yeah, I'll be getting on the plane this evening, and then I'll be in France with the Pride Boys there. We'll be doing another film and just kind of, just chasing swells around Europe. So I'm just looking forward to just free surfing now and just enjoying it, and before going back to South Africa in the end of November.
Dude, any sneaky insights on what the wild and creative mind of Seb Bullard has in store for you guys?
You know I can't spoil that, bro. Come on.
I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, no, Seb's really excited. He's definitely, I mean, I've had a couple of conversations with him, so he's amped. It's going to be good. Boys are fired up. We've got quite a young crew chasing it now. We got Matthias and Ethan Captivo will be joining us because he's part of the Nymph Wetsuits team and part of Bodyboard Center. And then Steph, Liam, and I. So there's really a young crew this time. It's going to be really cool chasing it.
That's sick. So Liam's going to spend the rest of his time over there in France with you guys?
Yeah, Liam will be here in France. And I think he's actually only planning going back to Australia in like December sometime. I think he's going to go probably to Portugal for the month of December. I think he's told me he's only meant to fly home around Christmas or something. So he's here for the long run.
That's epic. Good on him for, you know, making it worthwhile. Because if you travel halfway across the world, pretty much the opposite side of the world, you want to make it last over there, and working with the team that you guys have, it's going to be juicy. I cannot wait to see what you guys come up with. Well, you know, speaking about those movies, Tristan, what's been your favorite movie, film, you know, project to work on with the Pride crew?
Yeah, I've actually thought about that a lot, but it's kind of like, for me, it's definitely like a bit of like nostalgia. Every time I watch it, it's just like the Holy Africa film, just because I was like, that was like my time to like show the team around home, and like, you know, I got to kind of make the calls and like put them onto the waves and chase it with them. So for me, that was definitely like having them in South Africa for like the 2 weeks or that we filmed that whole thing was so full on. Like we filmed that whole thing in like maybe I think like not even 10 days of surfing, and it was just like so jam packed of like driving up and down and putting in so many hours. So, yeah, the Holy Africa one was definitely my favorite. But yeah, it's pretty funny because every time I see like people that talk about the films, they often refer to that film because it's just so action packed too. It's like nonstop, just punts for like, yeah. So that's the one for me.
Fuck yeah, man. And also too, like that, I can see why it's got your heart and your mind, like, you know, having home there, having it all documented, all the waves that you've grown up surfing and bodyboarding and like, you know, honing your skill level and all the crazy airs and punts that you do. You must have been so stoked about to take them to some of those beaches and yeah, as you said,
yeah,
nostalgically kind of like, you know, relive what your like where your journey started and come from.
Yeah, and it's just like it's so crazy for me, like where I'm from this like small town, like which is kind of like in the middle of nowhere, to even think of like having like Pierre and, you know, in Bella, like even come to like South Africa in general is just like when I was a kid, I would have never thought like I was going to be driving them around in my car, like chasing waves, you know, like, so yeah, just to like bring them home and see how all the like local crews were just frothing to just see some other pro bodyboarders from around the world. And yeah, so I think that was definitely very special.
How long have you been away from home now?
This would be like a 3-month trip for me. Yeah, so, and it's probably almost touching on 2 months now.
Solid, man. How do you keep yourself fresh and how do you keep yourself free of homesickness? Sorry.
For me, it's like, I don't know, I've kind of just grown to like enjoy, you know, the journey and just kind of like keep moving on to different places. It definitely helps that I'm always moving around, like right now it's exciting again that I'm going to France and to a new place and kind of re-spark the, you know, the fire to like chase new waves. And so I guess it helps that I'm always moving around, like it's always something new, like that I try and like look forward to and try and embrace like the change and just get fired up according to that. And so yeah, it's been pretty easy. Like I love going to Portugal and then obviously I love coming here and now that I get to go to France and like move around and chase some new waves and whatever it is, it's all just exciting. So that definitely just distracts me from the fact that I've been away so long.
Yeah, true. And you're in the prime of your life, especially of your bodyboarding career, man. Like, I mean, you know, you could argue the prime of your life is for your whole entire life is it is what you make it, but for your bodyboarding career, you know, like right now you are just in the thick of it and you're you know, you're 2-time world champion, man. Like you've done it already and you're going to continue to keep doing it, and I'm sure there's going to be so many more crazy films and like footage of yourself coming out. But speaking about your time over in Portugal and hanging with the crew, what has it been like hanging with Miguel Coelho and what the fuck happened to both of your hairstyles during that time?
Oh, bro. Oh, yeah. Like, obviously, like, Miguel and Steph are, like, the first boys I met when I went to Portugal, like, over 10 years ago. And so, yeah, I'm just like every time I go back there, I'm always just like staying with him and cruising at his house and just kind of living his slow paced life of moving around and surfing when the waves are good and just enjoying the culture and going spearfishing and diving. And yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know how we came about. Like the hairstyle was pretty much like, I remember like driving to the beach one day and I was playing like Snoop Dogg in the car and I like... like looked at the cover photo on my phone and I was like, yeah, bro, I should try like do some cornrows sometime. And we just like looked at each other and he was like, yeah, like let's go do it. And we were just like kind of joking about it. And then like later that day, we were just in the most African little store we could find in Portugal with this lady. It was like a 4x4 little room with like one little mirror. And we were just like sitting in there and for hours, bro. It must have taken us like 3 hours between the two of us. Just like sitting there with this lady and she was just like, yeah, doing it for us. So, I mean, it didn't last very long, like surfing with cornrows. I think you got about like 4 or 5 days and it's gone. So, yeah, we were just kind of just laughing and yeah, it was funny.
Dude, that's money well spent, man. And to do it with Miguel, like as you mentioned before, like talking about his cruisy lifestyle, when we had the pleasure of hanging out with him over in Portugal, me and my wife, Lozzie, man, like it was, and all the Portuguese boys, like they all do it so well. But like to just see what he's created or and how he sees and lives his life is just pure. It's pure simplicity, and but it's also pure joy at the same time. Like nothing phases him, cruises in and out. He's got that his beautiful grandparents' house at Sintra that he Airbnbs, which is like a pretty much a fucking palace. And yeah, he's got his you know his family home in like Lisbon. He just goes between the two. He's got these wild stray cats that he, you know, befriends and they all come over and he's got a lot of these relationships. Brings food home for him with fish. He, you know, obviously spooks so well. Like some of the practices I've seen him do at Nazareth, just world class. And just his demeanor, man. He is a top cunt. Like he is such a good bloke. I don't think I've met a better bloke.
No, exactly, Ray. He's just so welcoming and just he'll give the shirt off his back, you know. It's just like it's so sick. He's actually coming over to Oz, I think, now in December. He's gonna be there for a while. So
excited. I've been chatting to him on and off, and it was supposed to be a little bit early. I think he's pushed it back because he's trying to work a bit more coming into the summer, and I'm sure he obviously had that trip to Gran Canaria and all that kind of stuff. But I can't wait for him to get over. He's got to surf Aussie Pipe and he's got to surf Nugent because I know
he's
for him
to get over there. So I'm sure he's just going to be the happiest little Portuguese guy you've ever seen.
Dude, him at Aussie Pipe, like I know obviously, you know, and Antonio, they like loved it. And any Portuguese guy comes over because obviously like you know it's just any international traveler doesn't have to be Portuguese obviously wants to go that way, but I know he's just spoken so heavily to me about it. He's like we need to have a day. And I'm like yes
exactly,
I'll pack the weed, I'll pack the food, let's just go perch up on the beach, let's have a full day of it and let's just watch the day unfold.
you have to send me videos of his face that day, bro. He'll just be like the happiest dude on earth.
Oh bro, I'll be getting all the content of him.
He's sick, bro.
Fuck yeah, man. Well dude, I've taken a fair bit of your time up, bro, but I just wanted to thank you again for coming on, man. I was so keen to talk to you. Like it was such an enjoyable comp to watch. I was so stoked to see you get the win. I mean, you know, any one of the athletes, you know, would have been stoked to see them go all the way to the top. But you know, especially with the rivalry that you and Amore have out there, and you guys being at the top tier, you know, the pointy end of the sport when it comes to high performance bodyboarding, it was such a pleasure to watch. And I can't wait to see you guys do it all again next year. And it's just it was just good for bodyboarding, man. I'm still on a fucking high from it, so thank you.
Yeah, legend, brother. No, thanks, bro. It's like I always think, you know, front on is always a good way to end the year and just to get people excited and amped for the new year. And it's always just, you know, it's such a great thing to showcase our sport. And yeah, bro, I just want to say thanks to everyone for like, you know, from my point of view, just like throughout my career, just all the love that I've got from everyone and just all the support. Like sometimes hard for me to really connect with everyone individually and just like, you know, just like I'm so grateful for this journey that I'm on and being able to sit here and talk to you and just kind of share my experiences with everyone and just trying to soak it all up because I know it's going to end at some point. And I just really want to say thank you for everyone around the world for supporting the sport and just, you know, sharing the love, right? Because that's why we do it and we just want to keep enjoying it. And I know sometimes comps are frustrating to watch and conditions are difficult and it's not always the best show, but, you know, we're always just trying to do the best we can do and try and push the sport as much as we can. And, yeah, so just, yeah, thanks to everyone for tuning in from around.
Dude, well said, man. And we all love you. I keep doing what you're doing and I'm sure we're going to see you on another podium very soon.
Legend, Luke. Thank you so much, my brother.
Cheers, bro. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, chat soon. Cheers, bye. It was all a pipe dream.